If you'd like to stand with me, this morning we want to share from Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1 through 6, traveling on the same road. If you have your Bible, you're welcome to open to that place in Ephesians. If you don't have a Bible, you're welcome to follow along as I read from the screen. In light of all this, here's what I want you to do. While I'm locked up here, a prisoner for the master, I want you to get out there and walk, better yet, run on the road God called you to travel. I don't want any of you sitting around on your hands. I don't want anyone strolling off down some path that goes nowhere. And mark that you do this with humility and discipline, not in fits and starts, but steadily, pouring yourselves out for each other in acts of love, alert at noticing differences and quick at mending fences. You are all called to travel on the same road and in the same direction. So stay together, both outwardly and inwardly. You have one master, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who rules over all, works through all, and is present in all. Everything you are and think and do is permeated with oneness. As you think about that, please have a seat. Paul's statement, in light of this, thrusts us back on the chapter that we have been reading. And so if you are not familiar with that, I'd encourage you sometime to go back and read Ephesians 3. In light of this, he's talking about several things, I think. One is the mystery of Christ. There is a revelation of the mystery of Christ. God made known to Paul what his forefathers in Judaism did not see in the Bible. They had the Bible, they read the Bible, they studied the Bible, the Old Testament that is, but they missed a mystery until God made it known. And the mystery was this: God loves everybody. He loves us. It's not just us in this room. It's not just us that are the followers of Jesus. It's not just us if we were in Israel and we have this heritage. God loves us, everybody on the planet. And God has made a new way for everybody, first to the Jew, then to the Gentile. Gentiles have been added to what God was doing with Jews. And that's the mystery. The mystery is the playing field has been leveled with Jesus. And so whether I'm a Jewish background believer or I'm a Gentile background believer, I'm being called to be a new people of God. Doesn't replace Israel, it's added to Israel. He has something new and better for both the Jew and the Gentile. That's the mystery. And in that mystery, there are inexhaustible riches and generosity that come from Jesus. So God is a God of wealth and generosity, and he's pouring that out on mankind. And those that follow Jesus begin to receive the benefits of the inexhaustible riches and generosity of Jesus. And we have much that we can then give away to people around us. He's talking about the extraordinary plan of God. And the extraordinary plan of God is old becomes new. And that transition was huge. I don't think we appreciate how huge that was. But that was such a difficult thing for Paul to communicate that he's actually in prison because he's delivering that message. I mean, Jesus actually went to the cross, kind of on the human plane, because he said, "Repent, the kingdom of God is near. It's so near you can reach it." And that was such a revolutionary message. And that message was being given not just to Israel, but to the globe. Something new is here. So this extraordinary plan of God to regain control overall of his creation has been initiated through Jesus. That's an extraordinary plan, that God is in the business right now of restoring what was lost to sin. That God has begun the work of new creation. We're not waiting for it to be coming. It's already started, and it will be finalized when Jesus returns. And you and I are a testimony of that new creation. If you're in Christ, you're a new creature. That means you represent something new that's already begun that will be fulfilled later. That's an extraordinary plan. And if that plan really, we can still get in trouble for that plan. He's talking about, in light of this, the Holy Spirit working within us. The Holy Spirit deeply and gently working within us. We must be a people that are filled with the Holy Spirit. This doesn't work. Jesus' life didn't work without him being filled with the Holy Spirit. Remember at his baptism? He's baptized. I mean, remember, he's identifying with us in every way. So he was totally human. I mean, he said, okay, Dad, I'll go to earth. I'm going to leave the privileges of deity aside, and I'm going to become a man, totally like us. Baptized, we could identify with that. As he's being taken out of the water, the Holy Spirit, like a dove, he's filled with the Spirit. Being filled with the Spirit, the Holy Spirit leads him into the wilderness to be tested. And then once he passes the test, he comes to Galilee in the power of the Spirit. So he's now empowered by the Holy Spirit to do the ministry of the kingdom that he's been called to do. The Holy Spirit worked deeply and gently within him. And the Holy Spirit strengthens us to do what we couldn't do in our own strength. It strengthened Jesus. That's the Holy Spirit at work. So in light of this, the mystery of Jesus, the inexhaustible riches and generosity of Jesus, the extraordinary plan of God, the Holy Spirit working within us, and in light of Paul's imprisonment, all of this got him in trouble. He has something to say to us. He says, lead a life worthy of your calling. Lead a life worthy of your calling. My friends, God has called us to journey. He's called us to travel. He's called us to be on the move. And Paul is saying, we are to walk, but it's even better to run on the road that God has called us to travel. He's called us. Let me keep saying that so it's sinking in. It's not that he's called me or he's called Benji, or he's called the Parson family. He's called us. This is a corporate call. And it's not just to us in this building. It's to us, everyone throughout human history that follows Jesus. We are called to be on the move on a pathway that God has called us to. And we are to travel down that road with humility, true humility. None of the syrupy stuff. None of the stuff that is, oh, you know, don't tell me that, but please tell me that. Please tell me that. And don't play that game. We're talking about the real thing. Really getting down on our knees and serving one another. Getting our hands dirty, serving other people. A true humility. A true sense of, you know, all I am because of the undeserved merit of God. God has been so merciful to me and gracious to me. I mean, and that's we really know that that's true. And that we know we can't earn anything at all. He's done it all. I mean, a genuine humility as a group of people. That would be the opposite of being prideful. Humble people. And people of discipline. Who are steadily pouring ourselves out for each other in acts of love. So as we're journeying together, and the kind of the road and the destination are a little foggy right now as you read this paragraph, but we do know we're supposed to be on the move. The quicker the pace, the better. We are to be humble people as we're moving, and we are to steadily, consistently, not fits and starts, pour ourselves out for each other in acts of love. One of the ways we do that is these little slips of paper and sign-ups we pass around to care for each other when somebody's had a baby. That's an act of love. I've been blown away by how my family's been cared for by this community. It's pouring ourselves out for each other in acts of love. That's just one way. We can be really creative in how we love each other. And the reason we want to do that is because we're receiving God's love, we're sharing that love, and then people looking at us say, wow, that community of people really love each other. And we say, and you know, we'd like to share that with you. We always have more to give to other people. So as we love each other well, that's just an invitation for others to come and to join what we receive. We're to be alert at noticing differences and quick at mending fences. Wow. You mean I don't get to be mad and like storm off and leave this community to go to another community? Yeah, the Bible doesn't let you do that. But how many of us have gotten it? We've just gotten out of sorts with someone and we've walked away from relationship, or we've walked away from a community of believers to look if there's, surely there's got to be something better than this, rather than realizing we are to be people who mend the fences that we break. We're to be quick to notice when we're out of step with each other. Remember, we're a people that are journeying together with humility. Oh, so that means if I offend Jeremy, I should be humble enough to go to Jeremy and say, Jeremy, I really stepped on your toes. And what will it take for me to restore equity with you in our relationship? Because we want to keep moving together, because that's what God's called us to. The ministry of reconciliation is something that the church can give to the world, but if we don't practice it, we can't give it away. We are the only people on the planet that God has given the grace to mend fences with each other so that we pass that on to the people in our neighborhood, to the city we live in, the state, and the nations of the world. This ministry of reconciliation has been given to us. What a gift! But we have to practice it here. So one of the applications, one of the things you want to do, if you're out of step with anybody in this room, today is the day to mend that fence. It's just that simple. With humility. I messed up. I enjoyed a really good conversation with Tom. In a couple of weeks, we were out of step. And I said something that really lit his fire. And he let me know it. But you know, we're brothers. And when we were quick to know, there's a difference there. But we work through it. We talk through it. And then today we just sat back and just had a really pleasant conversation. And I really love Tom. And I love his perspective. And I love the things that he challenges with me. And I know that I challenge him. But that's good. So notice the differences. Mend the fences. Take a moment. I mean, this is really a holy moment. Take a moment. Are you out of step with anybody in this community? And are you ready to humble yourself and mend the fence? As we travel along, we're to avoid certain potholes. One is sitting around on our hands, which just means we're going nowhere. We're just immobilized. And part of that, I think, was connected with, well, golly, Paul, who's leading this parade at this time, is in prison, so I guess if the leader's in trouble, he's in prison, he's not going, he's not moving out, I guess we just wait for him to get out of prison. Paul said, no. No, I don't want you sitting around on your hands. Get moving. I mean, actually, he's in prison, but he's still moving. Because this road is not like a literal road. The journey is not like a literal, it's something that's bigger than that. So even imprisoned, Paul can be moving. So move along. Don't become immobilized. The other is avoid strolling off down some path that leads to nowhere. Do you remember in Pilgrim's Progress? Did you ever read Pilgrim's Progress? You know, there's a pathway. Ron, did you just read that recently? You and John get along? I looked for an old English dictionary. Man, there is more words in there. I have no clue what that thing meant. But, okay, so you're traveling, and then all of a sudden you just take this loop off the road. And then you find out, man, that goes nowhere. Then you got to go back to the main road, and you kind of move, and then you go again. You keep looping off, go around. Well, we don't want to be a community that does that. We want to be a community as best we can to stay on the pathway that is before us and keep moving together and not get sidetracked on things that really aren't important. The other pothole we already mentioned, it's the fits and the start. You know, you have a moment we're really extravagant in our love for one another this month, but next month we just kind of like hate each other and we don't do anything to care for each other. Those, we want to avoid that. So we're called, our calling is to travel. We are to travel the same road, the same direction, together. Now here it gets more challenging. Together outwardly and inwardly. Same road, same direction, together, outward and inward. So our faith is about a community. It's not about me. It's not about my personal testimony in Jesus. My personal testimony in Jesus only matters in the context of a community. If we're not on the same road, going in the same direction, together, outward and inward, then what I have to say about Jesus is inconsequential. It's a community deal. It's a family deal. And he says that in that, as we're moving together, same road, along together, there's this synergy that begins to happen. Because we have one master, one faith, we have one baptism, we have one God, we have one Father of all. And notice, when you have Jesus, the Master, God our Father, they're ruling over all, they're working through all, and they're present in all. And to me, that just seems like this flywheel that begins moving us down this pathway that God is taking us down. We have one Master, Jesus. We have one faith, one baptism, one God, one Father of all. And we want our God to be ruling over us, to be working through each of us, to be present in all of us. It's all or nothing. It's all or nothing. Everybody in this room, this moment, is part of this family, this community. Everyone in this room, it's like if I'm in rebellion to the rule of God, I'm affecting you. And we're kind of bumping down the road. If I think, oh, David, man, you know, God really works through David. But he doesn't work through me. You know, that's some of that false humility stuff. Well, no. What God works through David is as important as what God's working through me. We need it all. And sometimes we get on this thing about how present the Holy Spirit is. Well, either he's present or he's not present. I mean, the Holy Spirit either indwells us or he doesn't indwell us. And then the thing we play in that either empowers us or we try to do it in our own strength. And if I try to do what I do in my own strength, again, I'm disabling us in that synergy. And again, we're all interconnected in this. Our faith is about being together in relationship with God and moving together down the pathway that He has for us. And that's now the point of, well, you know, everything we are, everything we think, everything we do is permeated with oneness. That oneness is not oneness. It's the eternal relationship between Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The unity of the three permeates who we are, what we think, and what we do. And the pathway, the road that we're called to travel is this: making every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit with the bond of peace. That's the pathway. That's the road we are to travel. Together, we are to make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit, and we do it through the bond of peace. My friends, we are to be peacemakers. Peacemakers, since peace has been made between us and God, we now can make peace with each other. And having made peace with each other, we can make peace with everybody else on the planet. And we can also teach others about making peace. So here's some suggestions. Right now, as a community, what's our pace on this road that we're traveling on? Are we sitting? Everybody get your hands out. You know, we're not sitting on our hands. Or are we? Are we walking? Are we running? How are we doing as a community? Living a life worthy of the calling. How are we doing? What fences do we need to mend? Are there fences that have been erected here? Do we have fences between us and others outside of this room? Those could be in our family. Those could be in another congregation. Those could be with people that don't follow Jesus. It's important that we make peace with people that are not following Jesus. And then how can we increase our synergy? How can each one of us, I mean, every one of us plays a role in Jesus ruling over all, Jesus working through all, and Jesus present in all. How do we increase the synergy of that? So that's something for you. How can you, I'm saying this to myself, how can you invite Jesus to rule even more over all of you? How can we invite Jesus to work even more through us? And how can we invite Jesus to be even more present in our lives, in our relationships? Those are some things to think about as we live out this passage. If you would, please stand with me. I'd like to pray for us as a community, since this is a community passage. And I would just I'd just invite you, because we're a community, you know, like either hold somebody's hand or touch somebody's shoulder. You know, let's connect with this prayer, okay? Father, I want to thank you that you have called us to live a life worthy of the road you've called us to travel on. And I thank you that we get to do it together. Lord, as we stand before you, I would ask that each one of us together would make the decision that we want to do whatever it takes to maintain, to keep the unity of the Spirit that you have given to us. I ask, O Lord, that you would strengthen the bonds of peace between us. Having peace with you, let us now strengthen the bonds of peace with each other. And Lord, as we mend fences between one another, as we make peace with one another, would you please send us out empowered by the Holy Spirit to lead others into the making of peace. Peace with you, peace with each other, and peace with the world around. Lord, bless us in a ministry that's worthy of the calling that you've called us to. Activate that in our lives. In your name, Jesus, I pray. Amen. If you would like any additional ministry today along anything that we've talked about, or you have a special request, you know, please meet me over here. I know I'm leaving tomorrow, and I'd appreciate somebody praying for me. I know Nate is, I'm downloading a lot on Nate and Bryant. They need a lot of prayer while I'm gone. And so, you know, those are just ways we can pray for each other. So if you want to stay and pray, please do that over here. The rest, I go into the day and enjoy it, live it up. Thank you for our time together.